beyond the overhead. Today's scripture reading is Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
If you would open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to look at this text. That's where our lesson is based this morning. Good to see everybody. Good to have any visitors as well. We had a wonderful turnout for the clothing giveaway. I think over 100 people were able to come through. And it is thanks to so many here in the congregation, of whether you donated clothes or you spent time ultimately in coming in and folding clothes. It's, you know, a thing where we do not accomplish something like this unless it's a congregational effort. And it is something that we are privileged to do. It is a blessing to be able to help people with clothes in the community and everything. And so everybody who came yesterday in particular, who was there with me at 7:30 in the morning and who came later on and helped us, you know, put clothes up and tear things down, and thank you. It really is. We're doing two a year now. We did one back in the spring, and then we always, since I've been here, have always done one right before school starts back up. And it's a blessing, like I said, to be able to help people and to connect with people in the community. And we probably sometime in October, by the way, I'll probably head up to over in Northern Ohio to get clothes for the spring, because I found that's the best time to go to get summer clothes. That's when people typically get rid of their summer clothes, is when summer is winding down ultimately. So this is a thing that, you know, I think about year-round, and you know, your help is always appreciated with that. You know, you and I are told that fear is a bad thing. Fear is something that we should overcome, and it in fact is unhealthy. Well, I suppose that's true with some kind of fears, right? There are some kind of fears you and I should overcome. The Bible even talks about that in Matthew 10. Fear not him who can kill the body. What's that, mankind? But rather, fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. The Bible actually, I believe it is, over 300 times has the phrase in it, fear not, in different situations and circumstances. At the same time, though, the Bible says to fear. And in particular, in our scripture reading, as we think about this lesson this morning, fearing God, Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I'm just going to jump out right in the front right now and tell you the latter part of this verse, or the second part, I want to talk about tonight. And this morning, I only want to talk about the first part. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What exactly does that mean? Well, here's what I want to do. I want to first, I kind of have overall two primary points, okay? The first one is, what is fear? What is the fear of the Lord? And then secondly, what that fear does. That second point, it's the beginning of wisdom. But what exactly does it mean to fear God? Well, you'll find this word fear is used many times in the Old Testament in the Hebrew. And one of the things that oftentimes we think of when we think of fear is we think of the concept of a dreaded terror. To be frightened, in other words, is the concept of fear a lot of times we think of. And I want you to think about this, okay? In the Bible, when the Bible says to fear, the dreaded terror applies to the individual who's not in a right relationship with God. And you see that over and over again, okay? In James chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, James says, you believe in God, you do well. But here's the thing. Even the demons, though, believe and tremble. James is talking about in context that biblical faith is more than just believing. It is also doing. It's an obedient faith, right? And so the point is, though, when he uses that in contrast, he speaks of demons. Demons are not in a right relationship with God. They believe in God. And they also have a sense of fear from the perspective that they believe and tremble. Here's the deal. Let me ask you something. If the word fear, when the Bible says to fear God, meant this frightened, dreaded terror of God, and that we should always have, how exactly can you and I go about living a joyful life as Christians? Here's why I say that. I can't tell you how many times I've talked with Christians and I've met Christians who are in constant dreaded terror, wondering whether or not they're going to go to heaven. Think about that. If you're a Christian, you've done what the Bible says to become a Christian. God saved you from your sins. God gave us the gift of salvation. Heaven is ours. Now, can we walk away from God? Yes, absolutely. But I, at the same time, because I'm God's child, do not have to live in constant fear or dreaded terror of whether or not I'm going to heaven. The Bible says, my sins are washed away. And as I walk in the light, my sins are forgiven. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. I don't have to do that. So the idea, in other words, I want you to think about it from a complete biblical perspective. Fear does not necessarily mean this dreaded terror. The dreaded terror is for those not in a right relationship with God. The thing is, fear here is a healthy sense of fear. Now you're thinking, well, what do you mean by that? Let me give you some examples in our everyday life that kind of convey that the word fear means more than just dreaded terror and can be healthy. Growing up, I had a sense of fear towards my mother and my father. Do you understand that? There were times in my life, it's kind of odd, you know, this is kind of a bad thing in regard to me, but, you know, I had siblings where my parents could shame them and it would hurt their feelings. And, you know, just a strong rebuke, you know, could get them to obey. I wasn't like that. I had to get what's called a whipping, you know. Have you ever heard of those? You ever got those? Sometimes the whipping was with a paddle. Sometimes the whipping was with a switch, right? I needed whippings because it was the whippings that kept me in line as a kid growing up, right? And because of that, there was a healthy sense of fear that I had towards mother and father because of that. Now, here's the deal too, though. I didn't just fear mother and father. I also knew, even as a kid, an obvious reality that even though mother and father is two people that I should fear, I also know that they deeply love me and care about me. Do you understand that? So fear in that perspective and in that environment is actually a healthy sense of fear, right? I know, and think about that. Think about that, how God loves us. You know, in other words, if I know that God loves me, I don't have to have this dreaded terror that God hates me and wants to kill me or wants to send me to hell, because that's not what God ultimately wants for me, right? You know, there's a sense, too, where I think maybe we can see God's creation at times. And we can have this same sense of fear in regard to creation. I'll give you a couple examples. I was thinking about that this week. You know, it's been a couple years. Maybe we'll go again. But one of the things my family has always, we've always done at least once a year, every other year, we've gone to the Columbus Zoo, which is maybe the best zoo around. You know, it really is, right? I've heard people in West Virginia say, you know, we got a new zoo. They said, really? They said, yeah, we put a fence around Kentucky. Have you ever heard of that joke? But, you know, an actual zoo, though, right? Or around here, we put a fence around Ohio. You know, that's the joke. But anyhow, but one of the things that I always enjoy going to see at the zoo is the polar bear exhibit. You know why? Those things are really big. You know, they're huge. I mean, literally, if they stand up, they're over 8 feet tall. They are giants. And to be somewhat close, all right, to see just how big a polar bear is, it's a moment of, wow, it's a kind of an amazing thing to behold, actually. But here's the deal. Just because I'm amazed at the polar bears doesn't mean I'm going to climb the fence and jump in and with them and play in the water with them, right? Why? Because I also, even though I'm amazed, have a healthy sense of fear of, this is an amazing creature, but it will eat me. So I fear keeps a proper balance, right? The same thing I think we can say when we look at the ocean. I mean, how many times have you went to the beach and it kind of never gets old, actually, when you've just sat down in the sand in a chair and just stared out into the horizon as far as you can see, and there's still nothing but water there, and in amazement of God's beauty, God's power, and God's creation, right? It's a moment of wow, looking at an ocean. But at the same time, too, the ocean is kind of fun as well. Some of the greatest memories I ever had in my life was going on vacation to the beach and getting in a round tube and riding waves. The ocean is fun to play in, right? Now, having said all that, though, I also learned to have a healthy sense of fear towards God's creation, in particular the ocean, because I also know that it's very powerful and literally an undertow can sweep you out and can drown you, right? I also know there are some things you can step on in the ocean that might really hurt you, or there are some creatures that might bite you. So there's a healthy sense of fear and amazement at the same time with the ocean, right? Let me give you one more. This Friday, last Friday, we had a thunderstorm come through. You know what I did? I sat out on the front porch and admired the lightning. Off in a distance, the lightning just going through the sky. It's an amazing thing to look at. I think it's fascinating. However, there was one bolt of lightning that hit really close. Do you know what I did? I went back inside. I was a little fearful. You understand that? I didn't sit outside in the rain with a lightning rod saying, this is great. You know what I mean? So what I want you to see is there are things we see in the created world that are amazing to behold. But at the same time, there's a healthy sense of fear of knowing what they're capable of, right? And here's my point that I want us to understand. Those moments in awe of God's creation, think about how much more we should stand in awe of the Creator who created them. That's why in Psalm chapter 8, when the psalmist says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? In other words, one of the concepts about fear actually is actually being amazed at who God is. And I see God's fingerprints everywhere, David is saying there. And then I ask the question, why would you ever make me? Why would you ever care about me? You are so amazing and you are so powerful, God. You are the creator of all. You are Lord of all. You are majesty of all. And yet you created us. And yet you've given us salvation. You've done so much for us. You sustain us. Why? What is so special about us in comparison to you? That's the concept actually in the Bible of the fear of God. David said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, right? And so the point is when I think about the fear of God, all right, I think about the concept of fear. Is there a sense of fear as we understand it? Yes, but at the same time, the word fear means much more than that. It is to be amazed at the creation of God, the Creator God. It is a healthy sense of fear to God, but it is also a reverence and a respect ultimately for God. You know, this morning, if you're an early bird like me, maybe you watch the sun come up. And if you're not, hopefully at some point, maybe you went to bed when the sun came up. I don't know. But we've all seen the sun rise. And it's an amazing thing to look at, right? But you know something? The sun is 93 million miles away from us. And the size of the sun is huge. In fact, someone has said you can take the earth and fit it inside the sun 1.3 million times. And do you know that every second the sun turns out 4 million tons of matter into energy? We call it nuclear fusion. And that energy is actually the equivalent of a trillion megaton bombs every second of every minute of every hour of every day. If the earth, think about this for a moment, were a little further from the sun, well, we would fry. If it were a little further, we would all freeze to death. And that light that comes from the sun travels at 186,202 miles per second. That's the speed of light. In other words, it only takes 8 minutes and 22 seconds for sunlight to hit us when you and I watch the sun rise in the morning. I don't know about you, but when you begin to look at the daily, everyday, common things, it is almost as if these things are somewhat miraculous. Why? Because they come from the hand of the supernatural. That amazement in knowing who is the creator of all is the idea of the fear of God. And do you know in the Bible, I'll give you two examples, okay, that people who feared God had more than just a dreaded terror. Let me give me two examples of the Israelites in the Old Testament. For instance, if you would go back with me in your Bibles, look at Exodus chapter 14 really quickly. Because here in context, you have the children of Israel who are leaving the land of Egypt. Pharaoh has finally said after the 10th plague, go on home. Go on, leave, get out of here, right? Well, then he has a change of heart and he says, all right, I want the Israelites back to be my slaves again, right? And so he sends the Egyptian army to hunt down the Hebrews. And as they're fleeing from the Egyptian army, they come at a stop, and that's called the Red Sea. And as they come at the stop of the Red Sea, they think they're done. It's over, right? But then God, through the prophet Moses, parts the Red Sea. And as they walk through the Red Sea, and pass through in safety, the Egyptian army decides, hey, if they just cross the Red Sea, we could do the same thing. And as they're crossing the Red Sea, God caused the water to come right back in place. After that event happened, I want you to think about this. If you were an Israelite and you saw that happen, God parted the Red Sea, you walked through it, and then he preserved you by causing the water to come back to stop the Egyptians from doing any harm to you. The Bible says this in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 31, that when Israel saw the great power of the Lord used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. What does that mean? Well, is there a healthy sense of fear of seeing God's power? Yes, but God's power was for them, not against them. That's something to remember. And as a result of that, the fear, a healthy sense of fear, but an amazement to what God had done for them and a willingness to do what God had said. You see that? That's why when the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that we're beginning to understand what fear means. Let me give you another example. Go over to Exodus chapter 20. Now, we're going to look at verses 18 through 20 here in a second, but here's what happens in Exodus chapter 20. God basically says in Exodus 19:19 that he appears to the nation of Israel after they cross the Red Sea, in the form of a cloud on Mount Sinai. And he tells the people to gather together ultimately that they may hear his voice. And you know what's interesting? In Exodus chapter 20 in verse 1, the Bible says this, "And God spoke all of these words." You want to know something? When the Ten Commandments were first given, church, God did not just write them to Moses on tablets of stone, but God spoke them to the nation. And after he gives the Ten Commandments in verses 1 all the way down to verse 17, here's something that's rather fascinating that occurs. When the people, verse 18, saw the thunder and the flashings of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood afar off. What has happened here? God has spoken, and through a cloud and through a storm has made his presence known. He has made himself known to the children of Israel. And so the people have a dreaded terror. And again, if you and I could put ourselves back in that situation, how would we feel? Yeah, dreaded terror. But I want you to notice verse 19. And this is very crucial. And I think in all of the Old Testament, understanding the concept of the fear of God, I think this is it. Notice in verse 19, what does Moses say to the people? Moses said to the people, notice the people say to the Moses, they say to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." In other words, Moses, you go speak to God. Let God talk to you. We don't want to hear God. This is terrifying. We don't want to die. And so Moses says this in verse 20. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." Look at that again in verse 20. Moses says, don't fear, but then he says, to fear. That's not a contradiction there. In other words, don't have this dreaded terror of God. His wrath is not against you, but have a healthy sense of fear that you might not sin. In other words, when you see the glory of God in the presence of God, there is a healthy sense of fear, but there's an amazement, there is an awe, there is a reverence, there is a respect. It is all of those things, in other words, so that we might not do what? Sin against God. Fear intertwined with it implies submission. It implies trust. It implies obedience. It implies a desire to want to do God's will. That's the biblical concept of fear in a very brief nutshell. Now, I want you to look at the second part of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. By the way, this is your memory verse today. You didn't know you had one, but now you do. It's a very easy one. It's the very theme of the book of Proverbs. And of all passages in the Bible, it should stand out in our heart on a daily basis. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's the very theme. It's the key to the book of Proverbs, okay? And might I say this? I would also say it's the very key to life also. Why? Because when we have this fear, what does it do? Well, the Bible says it's the beginning. That means literally, the word there means foundation. To have a healthy sense of fear to God, not dreaded terror, but a healthy sense of fear and awe and amazement towards our Creator, okay, is the very foundation of learning about life. G.K. Chesterton once said this, "God is like the sun. You can't look at it, but without it, you can't look at anything else." And you know what? The fear of God is like that. You and I may not be able to see God, but if we're going to really understand what life is all about, if we're going to really understand how to live life, fear God. Because of that, that is the foundation of knowledge. Now, in Proverbs 1:7, the context specifically is the Word of God. The Bible, right? The Word that reveals us, that teaches us how to be faithful to God, how to treat one another. You know, the Bible is a book that speaks of parenting, and it speaks of marriage, it speaks of how we're to treat the government, how we're to conduct the church, how to treat our neighbor, how we should work, how to go to school, you know, how we should conduct ourselves rather in school, right? How to be friends, how to treat strangers, how to even treat enemies. You know, the Bible is thorough and exhaustive when it comes to the idea of how should we live. It speaks of how I should think. It speaks of what to believe and not what to believe. It speaks of how I should spend my day. You understand that? And at the very foundation of knowing how to live life, which is the concept of wisdom, by the way, in the Scriptures, is the motivation to fear God. But not only is it the motivation, church, let me say something else. The more we study the will of God, the more we develop ultimately this fear. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the Bible kind of speaks of this. It speaks of, hey, seek wisdom, seek the Word of God, right? Diligently learn the Word of God. Learn it in every way and every outlet possible, right? That's why, because verse 5 says, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In other words, let me tell you something. You may think, you know what? Maybe I don't fear God like I should. Okay, I understand that. Be amazed at God's creation, right? And you'll see the Creator behind it, okay? That's one thing. But the other thing is, become a student of His Word, and our fear of God will continually grow as the years pass. Because here's what I want you to think about. When we have the fear of God and we understand that it's the foundation of how to live life and the right way to live, here's what it does. I have found that in these four examples, some of the more difficult commands that people have ever faced in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. These individuals who feared God here, Abraham, Moses, right? I'm sorry, Joseph, rather, the Hebrew wives, and then finally Nehemiah, Moses is, I left Moses out of this sermon outline. It's because of their fear for God, they do extraordinary things for God and stand up for God. Let me give you an example. When Abraham is commanded by God, take your only son whom you love and sacrifice him, Isaac. Abraham promptly decides, all right, I'm going up on the mountain to do so. And just as soon as Abraham takes back the knife to kill his only son, Isaac, God stops him. But one of the things, though, that God tells him in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12 is, I know that you fear God. In other words, you know, sometimes in life, there are commands that God gives, and they're unreasonable. Why do I have to do this? And I think of all the commands in the Bible that doesn't make any sense at all, it's that one, right? Kill your only son? Really? And Abraham, because of his fear for God, was willing even to do that. Think about that for a moment. Let me give you another one in regard to the fear of God, practically speaking. When we fear God, okay, we will obey even life's most challenging commandments. Joseph. You know, in Genesis chapter 39, the Bible says Joseph was a good-looking man. Now, I want to tell you something. Joseph, okay, is a guy who is in his probably late teens, early 20s at this part in his life. He's a young man. And let me say this really quickly. Joseph's sexual drive at that point in life was probably stronger than at any other point in his life. And so when Potiphar's wife is repeatedly propositioning herself to him, that had to have been a challenging thing for a young single man. But you want to know one of the reasons why Joseph did not commit any kind of sexual sin with Potiphar's wife? Well, in Genesis chapter 39, in particular, as you look at verse 9, here's what he says. Notice, Potiphar has not kept back anything in the household except you, because you are this wife. And then he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You want to know how? I'm going to tell you something. Well, the most powerful way to overcome any temptation in our life is our reverence towards God. Fear God. Fearing God will literally lead us to even endanger our lives, but still do the will of God. You know, the Hebrew wives in Exodus chapter 1 were told by Pharaoh, hey, if you deliver an Israelite child, and if it's a male, Pharaoh said, think about that, that's the king of Egypt, you kill that child, you have that child killed. And you know what? The Bible says there in Exodus 1, because they feared God, they wouldn't do it. Thus risking their lives, right? Putting their own lives in jeopardy. They won't do it. Or think about Nehemiah 5 as we close out. How to treat others. I want you all to understand something this morning. The fear of the Lord, the reverence, the awe-struck, the amazingness of God, with a healthy sense of what, how we understand fear, that is the foundation for everything that we believe and everything that we do. It really is. For when we have that, we know how to properly see life. We know how to properly do life. Tonight we'll talk about the second part of that. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's close out with a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we come to you right now, and we're thankful for your word and how it teaches us to fear. And we understand, Father, what fear means, a healthy sense of fear, as implied throughout the scriptures. And we thank you that we, as students, can learn these things. And I pray, Father, that there's one thing we need in our lives, and that's not so much a dreaded terror of you, but we know that because you love us, a healthy sense of fear for you. May we, Father, develop our reverence for you and get to know you more and more, Father, through your word, but also through your creation and through our experiences in life. And as a result of that, Father, I pray that in every aspect of our life, we'll honor you with ultimately what we do. Thank you for Jesus also. Thank you for, you know, you ultimately becoming a man and living among us and then dying on the cross from a sinless life and giving us the hope of what's beyond this life through his resurrection from the dead. I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here who has not responded to that yet and but does have a fear and wants to become one of your followers, they'll do that this morning. But help us, Father, to fear you. It's in Jesus' name. I ask all these things, and amen. If you're here and you need to respond to the invitation in any way, you desire to become a Christian, or maybe you are a Christian and need help, we want to help you out. If you need to respond, why don't you come as together we stand and as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of have one dark blot to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, with fears within and foes without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
You may be seated. To help us prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 268. 268. I gave my life for thee. 268.